Okay, hello and welcome to this special episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today I want to welcome Val Yang. Born in Brazil, Val now lives in Wales after spending most of her life in Southeast England. She went to art college and then teacher training college, working in special education schools with children between 2 and 19 years of age. She qualified as an aromatherapist and worked with adults with special needs and in a hospice. Weaving through all of these, Val married, had three sons, was later widowed, and now have a partner of 20 years and seven grandchildren. Val learned Reiki and vortex healing and studied with the Order of Bards, Ovids, and Druids to become a druid. In 2004, Val started to intuitively draw dragons and write down their messages. They came whenever she could receive them, and 15 years later, a deck of 96 cards was completed. That was her first big project. The second big project was The Garden of the Heart, a book that has eight gardens and 64 portals to travel within your own heart. The third big project was doing the 44 illustrations for the baby dragon cards in collaboration with Anna Vidal and all the baby dragons that they work with at the Dragon Energy Center in Brazil. So welcome, welcome, Val.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It is.
And to give a little bit of context to this, so we've known each other, I think at this point is about 3 years.
Yes, yeah.
And we had an episode when, Val, when you launched your Garden of the Heart book, we did an episode on that, which I remember at the time I was so honored that you would choose my podcast to launch that book. I was like really excited. So I am going to put a link in the description of this episode. So if anyone wants to go and listen to that,
thank you.
That's still available. And yes, the reason why I brought you on today is because a lot of the women that I'm working with, so a lot of the women in the audience, having lived with a narcissistic mother, they find it really hard to feel safe in being creative. And the women I'm working with, very often they tell me that they wish to be creative, they want to be creative, but there's like a block. And I know for myself that has been also my experience quite a bit when I've tried to do my creative writing and painting and anything like that. So, and I love the way you bring so much playfulness to the whole process. Your energy is just so lovely that way. So that is why I have invited you in today.
Oh, bless you. Yes. I'm very happy to talk about creativity. Yeah, because, you know, like my creativity in one sense, in the art sense, was on hold for a good 25 years. You know, I didn't have the space to paint or anything else like that. However, you know, looking back, the creative process isn't just about writing or, you know, doing art or drawing or painting. The creative process is actually open-ended questions to yourself, you know, like, how can I do this? You know, you've got a problem. How can I solve this? You know, what, you know, instead of saying I've got to do this way, sort of what if I do this? What's going to happen if I do this? And I found that those more open-ended questions was exactly what I needed, say, when I was teaching. You know, because I was teaching with people with profound difficulties. So there's no way I can teach a normal curriculum, and I can't teach in depth on anything because they are basically not going to, in a sense, progress, because we were basically, our prime thing was on communication with them. So how can I get this child to communicate with me? And you have to get quite playful about that. You know, if you want a response, you've got to stimulate it so that you get a response. you know, normal way of doing it doesn't work, you know, because most people try that first off and it's sort of, oh, but so your whole approach to, you know, your work and your living becomes far more creative. And the more creative you become in this more openness of the outcome, if you like, then the more confidence you get, because it's the way that works. It's as simple as that. You keep doing it because it's the way that works. It's the way that shows you through a problem to come out the other end. So it's not only to do with artistic, you know, producing artistic stuff. It's a whole way of life. If you have children, you get very creative in all sorts of ways, you know, like, we haven't got that, but let's see what we have got to play with instead. Or in cooking, I'm very creative at cooking. I can't do a recipe, right? But I do have an understanding of what makes a cake. You know, that's what you've got to have, is a basic thing of, you know, flour, marge, eggs, and anything else you want to add, you know, and depending on what's in the cupboard, you add it, and then you end up with a different cake each time. So a lot of this creative process is open-ended questions to yourself, sort of, what if I did that? I wonder what that's going to be like, you know, and just take it from there. And it's a good place to start, because you can start anywhere on that, no matter how sort of blocked or depressed you feel. You can start asking those questions a different way, instead of, I meant to do this. Open it up to sort of, well, what if I did this? What happens if I do that? And just see. And there's never any right or wrong to it, never. So you're just exploring, and that's the childlike thing in it, is that you are just exploring. There's no end goal in it, really. You know, eventually there is, you know, if you put that on it, but actually the whole creative process is open-ended and finding out.
That is so beautiful. I love that. And so simple too, like that simple questioning, with the allowance of exploring without the goal and without the right or wrong, because that's what we do a lot. We have this inner critic voice that is like on our shoulder and is a constant judgment. Are you doing the right thing? It's probably not the right thing. Maybe you shouldn't do this. Maybe you shouldn't do that. And that's there all the time. I know my mother, it's like I have my mother sitting on my shoulder 24/7. So yeah, to be able to do that, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and it takes practice, but, you know, because I think we've all been there at some point or other, we've all been there, and it just takes a little bit of practice to retrain that actually, you know, you can shut up. I'm going to try this. I'm going to see. You know, it's like allowing children to be messy, you know, allowing them to be messy. You can always clearing up. I mean, I'm very messy with the art and everything else. But at the end of the day, you know, the table where I do all my art is actually the dining room table. So it has to be cleared so for us to sit down and eat in the evening. So, you know, like, but in the meantime, I can get as messy as I like. And you've got to allow yourself that, you know, and the more that you do, the more you'll find that your inner voice shines through, you know, and you start sort of, you know, having a little giggle to yourself. Well, that didn't work. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And you're not, you know, the other important thing is that you're not doing this for anybody else, just yourself. So it doesn't matter what it looks like at the end, because you're not showing it. You don't have to show it to anybody. You don't have to, nobody else has to know. But the process of doing this freedom of expression is just to see what it feels like. and just to go with it. And so long as anything feels right, then you've done it right for you. If it doesn't feel right, you can literally, you know, screw it up in a ball and throw it away. It doesn't matter. You're not accountable to anybody but yourself, right? Yeah. So you don't have to show anybody, you know, it's just for you. And sometimes you're really pleased with something that you've done. It might be really simple, or it might be a total surprise to you how it came out, right? And you sort of know that that feels absolutely right for what you were doing, what you were, you know, what was coming out of you at that moment. You know it feels right, and then you might share. But actually, you know it's right for you, and it really, really does not matter what anybody else thinks about it. You know, some people will get it and go, wow, that is amazing. And other people, they'll just flip by and sort of, oh, I haven't got a clue, you know. But it doesn't matter, because you're not doing it for them. That's a lot of people think they should be doing it one way, and, you know, and it's not like that. So it can't possibly be right. But actually, the surprises that you come out from yourself with are the best, right? And they're your treasures at the end, and you just keep them for you. You just keep them for you, because that was exactly right at that moment.
I love that. And I really love the reference to allowing yourself to get messy.
Yes.
That is really something that is, yes, like, we've been corrected so much. Like, you know, you don't play with mud, you don't mess, you don't make dirt on the floor, you don't put dirt on the walls, you don't do anything like that.
You don't get anything down your front.
Exactly.
Your face has to be clean, your hands have to be clean, yes, all that, yeah. Yeah.
I have like my biggest teacher in that is one of my daughters, because she challenged me on this very much in the year. She's 13 now, but like, she could come downstairs covered in paint, not just her clothes, like it can be her face. And I'm like, why did you do that? And she's like, I don't know, because I felt like it. And she's like covered in blue paint, or, you know, like, and I used to think that there was a right way. So I used to go, well, you know, don't use the good clothes, or, and now it's just like, she doesn't have a set of clothes that is not stained with paint. But that's actually such part of her expression that I can't deny that.
Yes.
For her.
Yes. Yes. No, that's perfect. Yeah. And, you know, it's her clothes. And if she feels comfortable in it, it doesn't matter. You know, often I find myself, I think, oh dear, I've got paint on this now, you know, like, and I was actually saving that to go out, but it's got paint on it. Oh, well, you know, either I wear it or I don't, but it doesn't matter that there's paint on it, you know. So, yes, and you know, children, yeah, it's that exploring. You're getting back to the feel, the tactile feel of everything, the realness of everything, not the mind, but actually what is actually here in front of you that you can feel, see, smell, manipulate in your hands, you know, that this is a wonderful, and it's immediate for me. It's immediate. I put my hand, I mean, we'll go into how I do it, but my hand, I do finger painting the whole time, you know, let alone three-year-olds, you know, here I am and I'm doing finger painting it, and they get covered, and it's so tactile, it's lovely, you know, and it feels, then I know that I'm really creating. It's literally coming out of my hands. You know, whatever marks I'm making is coming from my hands onto that canvas. And that's the realness of it, you know, no mind.
Yeah, it feels like there's quite the connection with your body when you go through such an experience,
yeah.
When you bring
yeah.
your hands into it. And so whether whether you're painting, I know I have my other daughter does a lot of sculpting with clay, and that again just involves the hands so much, and they get really messy, you know, and clay is everywhere, but it's that full embodied experience that goes beyond what we think should and shouldn't be done, which is like one of the biggest limitations I find in anything, which is a limitation in life ultimately. As you said, creativity is a way of life. It's the shoulds, you know, when we're using should in a sentence, that's usually like for me an alarm bell to say, okay, that's my mind and my inner critic is at work here, and I don't need that.
No, and that's what you're trying to get away from, and the more you allow yourself, again, it's this allowing through you, you know, this power of creativity that you have. You just have to allow this flow through, and it might start just as a trickle. It doesn't matter. You're not in a race with anybody. It's only you in doing this. So you know at any one given time how far you've got yourself. You know, and it might come as a surprise to you, the blocks that you've put in, not somebody else even, but you've put them in yourself. And you sort of gradually either literally kicking them out of the way, or you're just moving them out of the way. But you're becoming aware in your mind how much you've stopped yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's really important, because then you can let go. Like, I know this one now. I don't have to deal with that one. You've dealt with that one last time. So now I can go more fully into the next thing. Mm-hmm. So it is a build-up. It doesn't happen. I think if you tried to do it full on straight away, which would be virtually impossible, I think it would probably feel as if you were totally out of control, which when you're being creative, there is no control. So you're actually never going to go out of control either. You know what I mean? But there is this sense that you're just going with it the whole time, with it. You know, what if I do this? What about this color? What about this? You know, and what if I take it all off now? What happens then? You know, but if you let yourself, if you didn't do it as a sort of genuine process from the heart, you would feel as if you could just throw everything at the walls and, you know, throw everything up and everything else. But that's actually not being creative. It might get rid of a lot of anger and everything else, you know. So, and actually that's a good point. Sometimes, yeah, having said that, but sometimes if I haven't done anything for a while and I can feel things building up in me, right, ready to come out, but not, what I will do is actually do the equivalent of throwing everything at walls, but I get a canvas and I get paint and I literally flick and flick and flick and flick. And I just go out in the garden and I just get a canvas out and I just choose the colors and I flick, and it's totally random. Absolutely. And what it does, that actually loosens me up. It just loosens me up. Like, I've got rid of my angst, if you like, my anger or the build up that I'm ready. And then I'm ready to actually be creative, because I've got rid of my destructive tendencies first. So that's a good point too. So if you're feeling stuck, you know, just do that. You know, I flick paint, but you could just randomly doodle and doodle and doodle, or write, you know, nonsense until things start to feel. It's when I stop, when I feel calm, ready to do the next thing. So that might be useful to a lot of people.
I'm feeling that quite a bit, because it does happen when you don't do something creative for a very long time. I hear a lot of the women will say, and it has been my experience too, of, oh, as a child I was so creative, but then I came away from it, and now there's this block fear. There's like a lot of expectations. It's like it's like a cap on a volcano. It feels like there's a lot there, but you're really blocked into expressing it. So I get how that would be super, super free, liberating.
And also, you know, what happened to me after that, as a child and as a teenager, I would be drawing the whole time. I would be drawing, and I would be drawing what I could see. Okay, anything. I draw people, I draw, you know, cups, mugs, flowers, everything. I just draw. There was always a pencil in my hand, and I just draw. And then I had this long gap, and the frustration of picking up a pencil, and not being able to draw anymore, right? Like, that's enough to make you give up, you know, but actually the positive thing is that you work through that, right? You do work through that. You do work through that. And then you suddenly realize that that isn't your voice anymore anyway. That is not what you want to do anymore. That is not what you want to express anymore. So then things started to get freer. So if I could, you know, like, if you really were good at art as a kid, forget in a sense what you did, start off from where you are now, free yourself up from where you are now, and get rid of all, it doesn't look like a person anymore, it doesn't look like a flower anymore, you know, because actually what you've got to say with all your life experience now is more than that. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a big point, especially with the, I know what can emerge quite strongly is a lot of grief, because if you felt like you couldn't continue with whatever creative processes you had as a child, and that felt, now you're realizing, oh, it's because my mother put me down, it's because there's this trauma, these experiences came in and stopped me. Then when you want to start over, there's like this grief of what it could have been if you just continued.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful to the link you've made, Val, about, but now you're a different person. And there is a preciousness, there is a richness in that. And you can cultivate that from now.
That was really important to me, because you just it's heartbreaking when it happens, but actually you don't get stuck there. That's the key, you know. What else can I do then? What else can I do? How else can I express it? You know, how else can I do this, whatever it is I want to do? Say it's a flower. You know, how else can I do it instead of pencils, pens, paints? You know, yeah, get your fingers going. Get dabbing away. Get free up for yourself. So that, and like I keep saying, it doesn't matter about anybody else. It's your process that happens, you know, and you know when you're freeing yourself up. So allow yourself to explore, just explore what else there is that you can do that satisfies you, you know?
Yeah. And that brings me like to ask you about, we had a little bit of a to and fro in emails before this episode, and you wrote that you have two main creative processes that you go with. You spoke in your email about one that is more illustrating, you've called it, and the other one that is free-flowing. So if you just want to say a few words about these two different ways, because I know even if in the audience you're not actually, you know, you don't paint or draw, but you write or you do music or you express with your body, whichever form of creativity, and as we said, it could be in cooking, it could be in anything, because it's part of life. These processes, I think, can be transferable anyways.
Yeah. So yes, I have two very distinct parts to my art, and one counterbalances the other, actually. So the first one is what I call my illustrations, right? But they're not illustrations like me looking at anything, like a flower or, you know, a mug or whatever it is. What my illustrations come from journeying, inner journeying. And I've always been able to do that. And not always, I have for many years been able to do that, right? So so I will journey, and sometimes it's very, very visual. But that's not why I want to do it. There's often a very, very important lesson that I'm trying to remember from that journey. Mm-hmm. So what I do, it's for my own benefit. I think about the journey, and I try and do a composite, lots of different images. When you're journeying, loads and loads of images will come through, and I try and draw down an image that encapsulates that journey with a message in it that I want to remember. And once I've drawn that, then I will paint it. But, you know, and I will have an idea of the kind of colours I want, because that they will have been on the journey as well. But it doesn't mean, it's drawing is one thing, and it has to feel right. And I'm often doing like from multiple angles and everything else. To anybody who wants to do it right, it, you know, this is what, that's why you can always tell if you like shamanic kind of art, is because it comes from multiple different angles and viewpoints and everything else. But as a whole, if you look at the painting as a whole, it makes sense. But if you break it down to, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have done that, you'd never get it done. You'd never get it done, right? So you put this composite together, and it has to feel right. Yes, that's the message that I want to remember from this journey. And then you start intuitively painting that. And the colours may change as you go through, but so long as always it feels right to you. Yes, that's the right color. Yes, that's the right shade. Yes, that feels right. Then you go with it, you know. And if it's not, then you redo it. You just go over it. You just go over it with a different color. But as soon as it feels right, and there comes a point where everything feels just right, that is it. That is what I wanted to remember. And then that illustration is done. Mm-hmm. So, and it invariably comes from journeying, that kind of illustration. And sometimes that's how my mandalas come around as well. I've done mandalas, and what they come from are some very, very complex ideas that I've been given on the journey, really complex, huge concepts that you cannot illustrate in any other way than geometric form, really. And if anybody has been there and understands that concept, they will get that straight away. And if you haven't, you'll just see a mandala. And like I said, it doesn't matter to me, but I share it just in case somebody else, I know what that is. I know what that is, you know? And it's because, I don't know about, I still like confirmation, you know, like, you know, I'll see somebody will be doing a piece of writing on exactly the same day that I'm getting the same message and doing an image for, and they've put it up in writing, and I'll have put the image up. That's exquisite, because we have no connection other than what we've just done, but somehow we are connected. And their way of sharing it is through words, and my way is through images. So, you know, it is wonderful when that happens, and it's been happening more and more recently, which is great. Yeah. So that's how I do my illustrations. And that's really how, do you want to talk about the baby cards, or do you want, that's how the baby cards came, baby
dragon?
Oh,
yes. Let's bring them in.
Do you want to go on to the next bit? Right.
We can just bring the baby cards in for a moment, because it comes really well. I got the deck of the baby cards, and I have loved them. I actually got them thinking about my girls, especially my youngest. She's so into dragons, so she actually uses them quite a bit. But I found myself using them, and they just bring me back to that playfulness that I struggle with sometimes. I can get very serious. I can tend to take things a little bit too seriously at times. And every time that I'm pulling one, I'm like, I'm reminded.
Yes.
It's not that serious.
No.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
Okay. Well, the baby dragons, and Anna Vidal and Anto O'Connor. So Anna is Brazilian and Anto is Irish. And they run a dragon energy center in Brazil, right? And we met years and years ago when I was first starting doing the dragons, and they were first starting doing the dragons. And we were almost running parallel at one point of what we were bringing in. And then they've gone their own way with a whole system of healing through dragon energy. And I've gone my way by carrying on doing the illustrations and that. And we've been really good friends. So she came to stay that year, whenever that was. And, you know, on the conversation came up and said, well, would you be prepared to illustrate baby dragons? And I said, I'll have to think about that. So the next day, I said, yes, I will. I'll do them, because I knew it was going to be an awful lot of baby dragons. And I wasn't quite sure how it would work. But for me, the really important thing was that somebody who understood dragon energy brought them through, these babies, and someone, and I did not want AI to touch them.
Mm.
You see? And because you've got so many cute little dragons out there that are all AI or digitally formed, which isn't the same as AI. But I really wanted the hand of a human connection to a dragon to come through. That was my primary thing, was I thought, I've got to bring them through, because I really want to bring the baby dragon energy through as I understand it, as a human. You know, so anyway, so we did. So what she would do was, because they work with all these baby dragons as well. And so what she would do was ask which ones wanted to come through, the babies. And then she would tell me the name of it, give me the color of it, and then say how the baby wanted to be portrayed. So if it was doing something, like, for instance, baby orange is orange, all right? And then, but it had to be in a cave with crystals.
Okay? I'm just smiling because baby orange was the one that I had pulled before our call. And I had it here just ready. So look, oh my God, that's amazing.
So she's in they're in a cave with crystals, right? So that would be my brief, was that they were in a cave with crystals. So so then I would have to tune into baby orange, right? And the baby orange would be with me whilst I drew them and their surrounding. Okay. Then that was the first part of the process. So get the drawing right. Now, the drawing could take, because it was toing and froing between the baby and me, sort of like, no, you haven't got that right. Scrub that out. You know, no, don't like that bit. Okay. Yes, got that. Can I have a longer tail? Can I have a part of this? Can I have, you know, all that kind of thing came in, sort of not so necessarily as in words, as sort of like my hand would be sort of, no, that's not quite right. So the actual drawing could take 4 to 5 hours, concentrated drawing. Okay, so I'd leave it then, okay, for, you know, that was enough in a day. And then I would come back to do the painting of it. Now, the painting of it seemed to have more, the baby orange was there, but I also had other helpers in to, you know, suggest colors and shapes and things like that. So that would come in as well. And then finally, the card would be ready. The illustration would be ready. And then send it off to Anna to make sure, doubly sure, both ends agreed that this was it. There was only one occasion that we actually had to change something. So, yes. So it's a collaboration between Anna and her talking to the baby dragons, then me being with the baby dragons and that, and then making doubly sure that everybody is happy, that the babies and everybody was happy with the illustration. And the same thing kind of happened with the words as well. So, yeah, it was, you know, collaboration takes longer than doing it by yourself, put it that way.
Yeah.
But it was a really good thing, you know, and it never, let's put it this way, it never got easier and it never got any more difficult as time went on. So the next baby dragon would come in and the same sort of things, I get a brief, you know, what they've got to be surrounded by or what they're doing or what they want to express, and it would be fresh each time. So it would be starting from scratch each time with the baby and then with the painting. So that's how that came out. Yeah.
What an amazing creative process. And it really goes back to all that you mentioned previous, like going with the feel of it, forget about what's right or wrong and what should be or shouldn't be. And also, like, I love that you brought in AI and like not wanting that to touch the drawings, because that's like that part of our mind that feels I'm not able to do it. I'm going to use this.
Yeah, hand it over to AI.
Yeah, and it'll come out perfect in inverted brackets, but it's perfect for what? Like it's just a concept, but it's not actually the right feel.
No, that's right. It hasn't got that creative feel about it. It hasn't got that connection.
Yes.
Yes, it looks cute. But then, you know, you walk away from that. You know, it hasn't actually grabbed you, has it? Mm-hmm. It looks cute. But, you know, this, you sort of like, now, what is it doing? Why is it there? What, you know, what are they doing? And it's a sort of, it gets your curiosity going and it's engaging with you. That's the other thing. The key thing about creativity is that you must engage with it. You must. You can't half-heartedly do creative stuff. You know, no matter what you do, you've got to be, that's why all this physical stuff is so important, especially at the beginning. And making the mess and everything else, is that your body and your mind, everything about you is engaging with it, fully engaged, you know? And that's a key thing to creativity. If you're not engaged, it's not creative. You know, you can produce things, you can produce anything, but unless you've been engaged in the process yourself, it won't mean anything to you. You know, at the end, it doesn't have that, I know what that is. It's sort of, well, that's pretty, or that's a mess, or whatever it is, you know, like, but it doesn't mean anything to you. And that's what, it doesn't matter how it turns out to anybody else. If it means it to you, that's what matters.
Yeah, and that gets transmitted. I know I have a few of your beautiful paintings, but I have one in particular that is it's very simple. It's like a rainbow of color with a spiral in the middle. And I have it in my bedroom. It's like even before going to bed, if I'm feeling anxious, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, upset, or it's enough for me to look at that. It's just, it has such, and it has glitter all over her. So it's like, it shines in the light, and it's like, oh, it makes my heart just settle every single time and feel so calm.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, a big should shouldn't do in art or craft or anything else. You shouldn't lose glitter. Well, you know, I've blown that out of the window. So it's, you know, you feel, you put on whatever feels right, you know. So loads of people, oh no, you know, I can't stand glitter. Why not? Why not? You know. And I was like that to begin with. I was very reluctant to use glitter or any, you know, sparkly stuff or anything else like that. And then eventually it's, yeah, but Val, it's the only thing that shows it's shiny, you know, like use it. Oh, okay. And that gave me permission to go mad on things, you know. So.
And I'm very grateful for that. I love the glitter on all your paintings. It's beautiful.
That was a prime one.
And so we can, if you can talk about a little bit, so about the second process, the free flowing, because that feels like a really, I don't know, like one of these processes where you really get to go into the allowing whatever that is wanted.
I'll start off by saying, but when we came to launch the baby dragon cards, Anto and Anna really, really kindly took me out to Brazil, got me tickets to go out to Brazil for the baby launch, which was fantastic. And well, we did that. And then what I did for the group that was there was did a creative weekend, which was amazing, right? A residential creative weekend at their place. And these are highly intuitive, very intelligent women who can express themselves really well, right? But I was taking them back to basics. So so what we did, I said, okay, we're going to do this. And so everybody had a canvas, all of us. Everybody had to join in, no matter, you know, whether a staff, whatever they were. Everybody had a canvas, and you had a selection of paints as well. So I said to them, you are not to imagine any images, nothing like that. I just want you to think of 2 to 3 colors that you really feel like using today. Just really feel like using today. So that's what we did. And you literally can pour the color, can paste it on, whatever, randomly. And then you start blending these colors, okay? And you start blending them on your canvas, and your canvas changes as you're doing it. And you can add a bit more, you can take more off, whatever it is. And until it feels as if it's right, okay? And that's all you do. You're not thinking of anything, of shapes, color, you're just colors. So, but the amazing thing was with these very elegant women was that they've never done it that free. So they were literally, they could feel their minds breaking down the barriers as this is all I've got to do. Like, but I can't do it. It's all I've got to do. So they found it incredibly freeing, because they'd never done anything like this before. So, they were so eloquent in telling me all this, because I know it goes through my mind, but I'd never heard anybody else actually express it. So just by doing that, you just end up with this canvas with swirls of color or any shape colors that you want on it, right? So then we let that dry whilst we had lunch. And the next stage in that is that you really sit down and you look at what you've painted. You look and you look. And then you start to see things in that painting that you've painted. It doesn't matter what you see, right? But so a good idea is to get a white pen for this, and you start tracing round what you see in your own painting. And you keep finding more and more, and you just keep tracing around until you can't really see anything else. You know, nothing's jumping out at you, but it might the next day, but for now. And then with those outlines, you then choose some more colors and you're going to paint them in however you want. You just paint them in. So until it's finished, until it feels right. Okay. And they found that extraordinary again, because they were being shown things. It's like that painting is reflecting out to you what's inside of you. You've painted it. So what you're seeing is actually what's triggering you in your mind to see. You know, nobody will see the same things. But if you want to share that painting, you're going to have to outline those things to show somebody else. Yeah. And then so you complete it, you finish off your painting, complete, you know, it's a complete painting by the end of the day. And it was absolutely beautiful. Everybody's was so different, so different. And, you know, they were all really pleased with their own paintings. And for some people, that was the very first time they've ever managed to finish a painting. Finish it.
Wow.
They've always given up beforehand. That can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. And so it was staggering. And what came out was just beautiful images of what actually was being reflected, you know, from inside of them out. So it was extraordinary. Yes, it was lovely.
Beautiful. And I love that you pointed out that for each one of them, that all the paintings were so different.
They
because
were.
Oftentimes when we go into anything remotely creative, and we do that in life anyways, we're constantly comparing each other. And you know, like I've had that very often with my books. I start a novel, and then I read a novel by some author that I really like, and I start going, oh, but my book is so different, so it's worse. You know, it's always gonna be worse.
Yeah.
Than someone else's that is obviously already published and blah blah blah. So that can be a stopping. I found that I have to push through if I want to continue at that point. There's like a block that comes up.
Yeah. But there is no comparison. There is no comparison. The only thing I had to say to somebody was, actually, if you want to dry it to dry today, you're going to have to take some of that paint off. I don't care how you do it. But, you know, hers was about an inch thick all the way around. I said, it's not going to dry. You know, I gave her the choice. Do you want it to dry today so you finish it? If so, you need to take some off. If you're quite happy with it like that, just leave it. You know, it's your choice. But she did take it off so that she could do the rest of it. But she didn't have to.
Yeah.
That's what
choice.
I do. I use my fingers. And then you start, you sometimes you just want textures. So you're using all sorts of spatulas or twigs or anything, or tissues or sponges, anything to produce a textured background, and, you know, and get away from anything that you recognize at the time. You're just going for an abstract pattern, not even a pattern, just an abstract color background. And it's amazing what you see being reflected to you, you know, as you draw it out. And and you're usually delighted with it. You sort of like, wow, I didn't know that was in there, you know. So and in one day, I often do several of those because I'm in the flow then. So I'll just choose, right, what color next, and I'll do several so they can all dry, you know. Yeah.
I just a question came to mind when you were speaking to that. What happens, or has it ever happened, have you come across that, or maybe it has happened to you, that what comes out on the canvas? So you do that process, you pick the colors, but what comes out, it's actually in some way triggering some really intense emotions. Like, you know, if you are
That's
going
good.
through it, yeah, like, but can you offer some words? Because I know someone could find this maybe difficult, like, oh, the colors I've chosen are very dark and walk them out. It's like, it's never going to be ugly because it reflects whatever process, but
All
that
I
it
can
feels
say
like
is,
it is.
yeah, I know what you're saying. So sort of what appears to be negative to somebody else,
Yeah.
actually the way to look at it, which is what does happen sometimes, okay, is you're being, I needed to see that. That's why it's being shown me. I needed to see that, and I can handle this. And it's out now. You've got it. You've actually brought it out subconsciously. Out. It is now being reflected back to you. And now I see it for what it is. Okay. Now, and deal with it however you want to. Now, you could, if you wanted to, is burn that canvas if you want. You know, it's your canvas. You can just burn it. Or you could just clear that canvas completely off and repaint it with something else as a back, you know, just say white, you know, right? It's obliterated. Now, I've seen it. That's all I needed to do was see it, you know. But if you don't want to waste the canvas, you're going to strip it back and then repaint it, right? But, or you can do whatever you like that you feel fit to do with what has been, but whatever it is, it needed to be seen by you. Nobody else, remember that, nobody else needs to see this. So it needs to be seen by you so that you can face it full on. This is part of all the release thing, you know? And then, okay. And you might be surprised eventually how calm you feel looking at it. Right, I've seen it now. That's the worst I could see. I've seen it. I've faced it. It doesn't matter what I do with the canvas now. I've seen it. You know?
Yeah, that's actually really important. I thank you for that answer. I know that that's gonna really support and help many, many women, because it is an important part. And I get the whole point, no one has to see it. I remember one of my daughters, the youngest one, she likes doing music. She messes with her guitar and makes her own music, and she records it on the computer. She uses mine or her dad's computer and records it. And one of the times she made me listen to one of her songs, like she does always, but this one was like really dark. Now, I mean, really dark. And there were a lot of bad words. It was like,
yeah.
I was like, whoa, what just happened there? But it was like, it was never to be shared with anyone. It was just, she needed that outlet. She had to sample and play with those energy and go with that. And that was done. That's it. So
that's
I
it.
get that. You don't have to share it. It's not necessary for anything. As long as you have seen it, you have seen that messy part. And and then that's it.
Yeah. And I mean, some great artists have done amazing pictures using their dark side and what's happened to them, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. I
haven't done that, you know, like that. You know, I would prefer not to share that, if you like. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but I would rather. But the fact that you know what's happening, you're doing it to yourself, it's your subconscious bringing it up for you to see, is more important than anything else. The whole process, you know, like with those women in Brazil, the whole process of actually letting go and letting this through and seeing what was coming through was very liberating, because they didn't know. You know, you don't know till it shows up what it is. So it's such a good way in many ways to face things that you wouldn't ever have a choice about, you know, like you wouldn't choose to go there really, but it's still in you. So it has to come out. And it's a really good, and once it's there, it's harmless. You know, once it's actually facing you and you've looked at it and you can do whatever you like, the fear usually subsides an awful lot because you've actually faced it down, you know. You've looked square in the eyes and you sort of, is that it? Is that what's been holding me back all this time? Really? You know, like, really? So, yeah, it's a really good process to do.
I use the metaphor of it. It's like having a dark room that you've never looked into, and it's really scary because you've never looked into it. But once you open that door and turn on the light, well, then that's it. Yeah. It's not dark anymore, and it's out in the open, and it's not scary. But I love what you said about the process, because the process is the important part, isn't it? It's not actually the final result. It's like, and it brings us back all the way to that child energy, that playful energy, because children, when they do things, they don't care about what comes out. They really enjoy the process.
Yeah, precisely. You know, and they'll do it till it's finished, you know, 2 seconds later. Finished. Right, okay, next, you know, finished, until they, I don't want to do anymore. Right. Well, that means that they've got everything out. And it's kind of like that for us. If we allow it, it'll come out until I don't need to do any more now. I can have a rest, you know, like it's out. So, yeah. And it's just allowing, like I said, it's giving yourself permission that hasn't been given permission before, you know.
Mm. Yes.
And most children, you know, like if they haven't had trauma or anything else like that, you know, like really young kids never ask permission, never, you know, they just do it. It's just, having had three kids all at once, you know. Yeah, they don't ask. So remember that as well, you know, it's you giving permission to yourself. It really is. Yeah.
Wonderful. And oh, there's so much, and I really love every conversation with you, because it's it's that energy. I know it helps me, it supports me in the process of feeling like, yes, I have permission, because not because I got it from you, but you have this energy that is just so open. And there's no judgment. I always feel very, very safe. I remember actually speaking. It was in the group, of the Garden of the Heart, that I shared for the very first time publicly, effectively, that I was going to work with mother wounds and that I was going to start this work. This was like a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago. I can't remember. And I remember everyone, but like, and your energy was just like, do it, that feels good, why not do it. And that was the spark that I really, really needed at the time.
Obviously, I mean, it does really need doing. And I think one of the certainly I'm a lot older than you, but I used to find it really frustrating when people used to talk about their mothers as if they were some sort of beautiful creation, you know, like this, that, and the other. And it was only when I decided to start being honest to people, like my clients, you know, sort of like, you don't have to love your mother, you know, like, and boom, the gates, floodgates flew open. They needed permission from someone that said, it's okay, you know, not every, you know, it's okay to speak about it. And it is, and it should be. And it's only, I don't know, society, you know, putting these blocks on you the whole time. You mustn't mention that. You mustn't mention that. Well, as soon as you actually do, you find out how many other people are just relieved that they can actually, you know, talk openly about it, because it needs to be opened up. Yeah. Yes. And obviously you've shown them. You've done it perfectly. Well done.
Thank you. We've been talking for about an hour, and I could go on talking with you all evening. But I know this is only going to be an audio
That's
recording. So for the audience, yeah, obviously we're not going to be showing images because you're not going to be able to see them. But I am going to share in the description of this video a link to your website, Val, so that people can actually go, and if they want to have a look at the Baby Dragons card or your other incredible deck of cards that is like 96 amazing dragons. It's a beautiful work, and then there's lots of paintings, and there is the Garden of the Heart, of course, that
Yes.
I again, amazing, amazing tool of self-discovery, especially if you've heard in this episode, you've heard us mentioning journeying. It's like going in with like it's like a visual meditation. You're literally taking a journey inside of yourself, being open to whatever it wants to come. Some people are more visual. I get more words, for example. Sometimes it's more feelings. I don't get as clear image as I know you sometimes describe your own journeys.
Yeah.
We're all gonna do it differently, but the Garden of the Heart is such an amazing tool to do that. And to get started with that. So, if you're interested in knowing more about that, as again, I'm going to put the link to the other episode, which I know is also shared on your website. So if you go
Yes.
on Val's website, you're going to also be directed to that episode, and you can see that and hear about it. And we're showing images of that. I remember that's a
Yeah.
video, so you can see
Yeah.
images of it. So all of that is going to be
Thank
available.
you. Thank you.
And if you have anything else that feels like wants to come through that you want to add before we close, Val.
There is only one thing that is to, like, if you're going out for a walk anywhere, don't wear headphones. Don't really be where you are. Really be where you are. It doesn't matter how you feel. Okay, but just really take in each step at a time. Okay, and just allow everything around you to support you. And I mean the earth and the wind and the rain and the sun. Try and become more aware of that than what's happening in your head. And that'll be the biggest opening for you, to then free yourself up. That's all I wanted to say, is just allow yourself to open up, and then everything loosens. That's it.
That's potent. That is amazing advice, actually. We're too often we're bringing distractions with us. So that again is enjoying the process. You're not going from A to B, but you're
No.
enjoying every single step and
Yeah.
opening your entire body and feel all that's there to be
Feel it. Yeah. Feel alive. Not in
felt.
your head. Feel alive. Yeah. That's it.
Wonderful. I'm not going to add anything else. That was just absolutely amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Val, for this time together, for all the wisdom you shared, and for all the beautiful paintings you bring. And yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening in.
Yes.
And you can reach out always. You can ask questions. There's my email at the end of every episode. And there is also going to be all the contacts of Val if you want to ask her about anything about her creative processes and all of that and all her beautiful paintings. You can find her there. So, with that, we're going to leave you and send you lots of love. Bye for now.